You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another fantastic episode of Ask a Drone You. My name is Paul, and joining me as always for this week's new show is my friend, good friend, and drone expert. You might have heard of him before, as he has been spinning news for quite some time. Haya from Drone DJ is here with me today. Haya, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, good morning, Paul. Very well today, and especially after some announcements that we got early this morning, but I'm sure we'll touch upon those in this show today.
Yes, very excited to hear about those particular highlights, and also very excited to really see what's coming down the line this week. As we get closer and closer to the end of the year, it seems like the drone news just continues to pile up as manufacturers are trying to get their products out to the market in time. In a consumerist world where we're seeing more and more Christmas decorations earlier and earlier in our grocery stores. Which brings us to today's first headline, Haya, which I'm pretty excited about, but it looks like DJI has actually said, okay, we're releasing a new drone. What do you have?
Yeah, and it's about time too. I mean, we've been through the entire 2019 basically without any serious drone product or no drone product released from DJI. And the latest rumors were, of course, the DJI Mavic Mini. And earlier today, we saw a tweet where the Mavic Mini was apparently accidentally listed on a Chinese website. So we got some new pictures, but more importantly, we also have a price confirmation. If you do the math, it comes back to around $399, which is the price that we anticipated for this drone. And it's funny because as soon as we wrote this article, literally minutes later, we got an email from DJI with a announcement for October 30th at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So it seems that this Mavic Mini might actually hit the stores really, really soon, well ahead of the fourth quarter shopping season, which of course is really good news. Now, the DJI Mavic Mini, as far as we've been able to tell, probably contains a lot of the same components that you find in the original Mavic Pro. Of course, the package is much, much smaller, and that automatically brings me to one of the most important features of this new drone, is that it weighs less than 250 grams. And now, why is this important, you might ask? Well, in the US, if a drone weighs less than 250 grams, you do not need to register it with the FAA if you fly that drone recreationally. That is a big thing. In other countries, it even allows you to fly in places where otherwise you would not be able to fly. So having a consumer drone that has not all but most of the important safety features from DJI's drones, but also one that you can fly without having to register it and without having to worry as much about drone regulations as you otherwise would need to, is for sure a big thing. Now, of course, don't forget, you're still expected to fly this drone in a safe manner, so please still stay away from airports and any manned aircraft that you might see. You're still a pilot, you're still flying an aircraft, so even though it's a small and lightweight drone, you still got to be responsible in your flying. Quickly to the specs for this drone, it has a 3-axis stabilized camera that shoots 4K video, not 60 frames per second. It's limited at 30. You get to 60 frames per second when you shoot 2.7K. You can shoot 1080p at 120 frames per second and take still pictures with a 12 megapixel sensor. So for most consumers, this is going to be more than enough to get some really cool video footage as well as some photos. Of course, the downside of having such a small and lightweight drone is that it's somewhat limited in its battery life. So you're not going to get any 20 plus minutes flight time on this drone. It's they say 18 minutes, but in real life, it will probably be more around 15 minutes. At least that's what we expect. It ships with a controller. You should get about 3.1 miles of range with this controller. Now, I hope that DJI did not go the route of Skydio and include a cheap Parrot controller to kind of keep the cost down. I would expect this to be a official DJI product, of course. We also think it's going to include a geofencing as well to make sure that you're flying in areas where you're allowed to be flying this drone. And yeah, I mean, officially, it hasn't been mentioned that this drone is going to be released on October 30th, but that's the date we got marked in our calendar.
Yeah, very interesting. Hi, I've got a couple questions for you on this particular release, because I think that there are some clarification points that a lot of recreational pilots need to understand. But if I understand it, whether the drone is sub 250 grams or not, and we're in the United States, don't recreational pilots still have to receive an authorization to fly in controlled airspace? And how does the lack of not having to register the drone really make an impact? I mean, I know it's kind of making waves in the industry, but I mean, we're talking about a $5 registration here.
Yeah, true. So the registration expenses or costs wouldn't be a big hurdle. You still need to fly the drone responsibly as well. So there's a lot of things that are still going to be in place for you. Not having to register the drone makes it a little easier. I think the benefit is more so in other markets where the drone regulations are slightly different. In the US, I would expect you still need to go through lands if you want to fly this drone in controlled airspace. So in that sense, you would still have to learn about that, get the apps that you need, and fly the drone that way.
It is really interesting, though, because I think what this drone is going to do, Haya, is essentially add a flying camera to every photographer's camera bag. I mean, we're talking about now a drone that's extremely small. It's capable. Frankly, I probably wouldn't have one of these in my backpack, but this could be, a very powerful vehicle for certain organizations, companies, and maybe some agencies that need small throwaway drones that don't cost a lot, but yet offer everything that we've come to expect. In addition, if the remote does have telemetry data on it, like the Mavic 2 Pro does, and like the Mavic Pro, but was not on the Spark remote, I think that would also be another huge value add to this particular vehicle. Now, while it is exciting for many, for me, I would rather just try to fit my Mavic 2 Pro into my backpack, which I actually do typically take with me. But then I also do typically take a whole nother backpack with another drone in it. So that being said, this could be a great backpack, and it is really exciting. Now, for this next piece of drone news, there's also a lot of things that are exciting. As we've talked about on the show before, it seems like the battle to accelerate the Industrial Revolution has really taken on many new, wings, literally. As this next piece of news showcases that drone delivery is finally here, and it is being utilized in interesting environments to really see a proof of concept. Haya, I know we've been talking about drone delivery for a while, but it seems like 5 years after the Amazon announcement, we're actually delivering products, but they might not be the products that you think. What do you have?
Yeah, it's definitely picking up speed when it comes to making deliveries by drone. There's actually two stories here. The first one is Wing Aviation that partnered with FedEx and Walgreens to deliver packages by drone. Now, of course, we know Wing Aviation is one of the daughter companies from Google, or Alphabet, if you will. And they have been flying drones for quite some time in Australia. And of course, Australia is quite far away from where we are, so we haven't always received as much news about what was going down. Down there. But apparently they've made over 70,000 test flights with this drone and made thousands of deliveries already. So they've got quite some flight time under the belt, and now finally they're bringing it more to the US. FedEx partnered with Wing Aviation because Wing Aviation is actually allowed to make deliveries by drone. FedEx is not. So it's a partnership between those two as well as Walgreens. And they're looking to deliver prescription and other healthcare products by drone starting this fall in Christiansburg in Virginia. And this whole test setup is part of the UAS integration pilot program that was launched late 2018. Now, of course, when you say FedEx, then there's another name that comes right into mind, which, of course, would be UPS, the other massive courier service here in the United States. UPS recently got their Part 135 certification from the FAA, and they are now allowed to fly drones to make deliveries. And right when that news from FedEx came out, UPS and CVS, another pharmacy company, issued a press release saying that, hey, we're going to partner as well, and we are going to deliver prescription drugs by drone. So, of course, UPS didn't want to fall far behind FedEx. They came out with this news. Of course, UPS has already been flying blood samples and other medical supplies at the Wake Med Hospital campus in North Carolina. So they as well have quite some experience by now. But partnering with CVS, I mean, now you're talking about, okay, you have all these stores throughout the country. And what you and I were talking about in one of the previous shows, like, hey, this would be a way that you can actually help brick and mortar stores by making local deliveries by drone. Starting with CVS, I think that's smart because a lot of people understand the urgency when you talk about medication and things like blood samples. So I think the acceptance for people to understand that drones might make a lot of sense to make those deliveries is a little better maybe than with some other consumer products. But of course, UPS doesn't just deliver those kind of products. They're delivering pretty much anything. So it does open the door for UPS to start rolling out deliveries by drone on a much larger scale. The big question, of course, is how fast is this actually going to happen? Are we going to see this industry be transformed in the next couple of years? I think there are a lot of benefits, and it would save a lot of fuel and less congestion on roads. So I would be in favor, but we'll have to see how fast this development actually takes off.
Couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I do find it interesting, the drone that UPS is using, the MatterNet drone, I believe it is. One of our good friends here at DroneU, Mr. Andrew Baker, was actually one of the testers on the autopilot system that's being utilized by that. And it's really interesting and exciting just to see how large these drones are. But Haya, I think even with 70,000 flights, which is a phenomenal data set for FedEx and Wing to utilize, UPS and all of these drone delivery platforms seem like they still have a long time to go until we're really, you know, seeing mass delivery by drones. And I say that because things like the way that DJI has engineered propellers to break when they hit skin, you know, those types of very, very small nuanced innovations could have a huge impact on the perception of drones. Imagine if one of these crashes and, you know, drops blood everywhere. Well, if the drone is made to essentially dismantle on impact, or, you know, maybe there's a parachute, or maybe there's a parachute that engulfs the drone, kind of like you see with an avalanche backpack. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems like while we're still making a lot of headroad here, or we're making a lot of inroads here, it seems like there's still a lot more to be done. And I also think the proof is in the pudding, in the fact that, you know, typically these operations are really limited in the products that they deliver and where they deliver, as noted in one of the articles mentioning the fact that, you know, here we are and we're only really operating in Christiansburg. So it's really exciting, really exciting that more and more is happening with drone delivery as a whole.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And it's a good thing that you touch upon those drones. I mean, if you look at the MatterNet drone, that's for sure a much bigger drone. In one of the articles, we had a picture of somebody actually carrying that drone. And don't think of that drone as a Phantom-sized quadcopter. It's much, much bigger. It's much heavier. It can carry a much bigger payload. So, yes, if that thing comes falling out of the sky, it better have some kind of parachute system to make that safe. If you look at the Wing Aviation drone, that's a very different and very interesting design. It's a part fixed wing drone, as well as not a quadcopter, but I don't even know. It has 12, 14 propellers, I think. So it can take off vertically, but then once it's flying, it can pick up speed. And I would expect that the range for this drone is much, much larger than the range for the drone that UPS uses for MatterNet. Of course, when you talk about making those kind of drone deliveries, I mean, now UPS flies from A to B on a hospital campus. So it's a very controlled, very short flight, if you will. If you're going to be flying these kind of drones to any random residential house, things like UTM, so unmanned air traffic management systems, remote ID, parachute systems, all that stuff comes into play, because you want to make sure that these drone deliveries are going to be safe and that people know where these drones are, where they're headed, and that they're not going to interfere with any manned air traffic. So yes, there's a lot of things that still need to fall into place before we're going to see this at a mass scale.
Couldn't agree. I think another thing that needs to fall into place is our regulators having practical experience operating these drones. On that bombshell, let's move to the next story, which brings us to Los Angeles. What's going on with LAFD? It seems like, you know, after Airworks, they were kind of a big part of the DJI Airworks conference, which I haven't really heard much about, frankly, which is interesting to say the least. Now, that being said, Haya, one thing I do want to mention here is that DroneU was actually represented unknowingly at the DJI Airworks show when LAFD showcased their preferred choice of landing pad.
Yeah, and it looks, you can actually see it in the picture on Drone DJ, a nice orange and blue landing pad, which of course anybody who would know would recognize this as a DroneU landing pad. So yes, you were represented for sure. The Los Angeles Fire Department did play a really big deal in DJI Airworks this year. They were both at the event as well. And then on the media day, on that Monday, before DJI Airworks officially took off, we went to a training facility from the LAFD, which was really, really interesting. We got to see some drones in action and also had the chance to talk to some people from the Los Angeles Fire Department. The news here, though, is that the LA Fire Department is looking to significantly increase the number of drones that they use in their fleet. And what I found very interesting is that when you look at the LA Fire Department, I mean, it's a huge fire department. It's almost the same size as the one in New York, and it rivals the one in Chicago. And just to give you an idea of how big these organizations or these agencies are, the annual budget for the LAFD is $691 million, and they employ 3,500 people, and they respond to almost 500,000 calls per year. So it's a massive organization. And a little further in the news article that I read, it mentioned that currently the LAFD has 11 drones in their fleet. So they got 3,500 firemen, and they respond to 500,000 calls, and they only have 11 drones in their fleet. This kind of struck me as odd. I mean, I totally understand the chief battalion, Richard Fields, saying that he wants to significantly up the number of drones in their fleet. I would imagine that they have massive room for new drones and more use cases for these drones in their day-to-day business. I hope that they will be able to scale up quickly. I think there's a lot of potential for drones in fire departments, police departments, and first responders to help save people's life, but also to keep firemen safe when they enter buildings or get on the roofs of buildings that are on fire. So yeah, we're very excited to learn about this, and I hope they're going to bring up that number quite a bit and don't stop at 22, but please go up and up and make sure that all these fire crews have drones in their assortments or in their toolbox, if you will.
100%. You know, it's interesting. I'm looking at LAFD and the images and whatnot that they've shown. I mean, do you think it's really viable for more and more of the officers to have like these larger drones, or do you think that they're going to be utilizing smaller vehicles? Because every drone I saw showcased at the Airworks presentation was a very large-scale drone. And I mean, as you remember, as we had our podcast at the FDNY Training Academy showcasing that the most useful drone they've found to date was the Mavic 2 Enterprise Dual.
Yeah, I think it's a similar story for the LAFD. The reason that they used those large drones was because it was part of a demonstration where they were showcasing new sensors that they utilize on these drones in special situations. So my understanding is that they would have a number of those larger drones for those special situations. Think of hazmat situations where you need to sniff out if there are any dangerous gases or fumes coming out of a train wreck or a car or whatever. I think in their day-to-day operations, they favor the smaller drones as well. And the Mavic 2 Enterprise Dual would be a perfect drone for probably most of their cases.
Couldn't agree more. In this next piece of drone news, it's actually quite exciting as the maturity of the drone market showcases that more and more people are innately understanding that drones may not pose a safety risk when they're, you know, being utilized and flown by people who know what they're doing. Now, with that said, that perception has really grown and accelerated throughout the regulatory community. Now, that being said, it looks like New York is really understanding that drones may be safer than what we have all come to think. Haya, how is drone law changing in New York?
Yeah, this is New York is always a special case, of course. I mean, it's super, super busy. You have three major airports surrounding New York City. There are a large number of helipads. There's a lot of helicopter air traffic there as well. So flying a drone in or around New York City would be a tricky and potentially dangerous situation anyway. But you're not officially allowed to fly a drone in New York City, as there is a law that I think is 60 or 70 years old by now that prohibits any aircraft from landing or taking off on the island of Manhattan. And even though I haven't come across anybody actually being issued a ticket because of this law, I mean, typically they'll issue tickets for disturbances or other reasons when they catch people flying drones. But this is the actual law that prohibits you from flying drones in New York City. Now, One of the city council members by the name of Justin Brennan argued that New York is falling behind the times and that there are a lot of good reasons for agencies and companies to be using drones in New York City. For instance, there's a law in New York that requires the facade of buildings to be inspected every so often. I don't know exactly if that's, I don't think it's annually, but it's probably every couple of years. And in those cases, they need to build up a scaffold around the building and manually inspect all the bricks to make sure that those facades are structurally safe and sound, and there's no risk of pieces falling to the pavements down below, where of course you have a lot of people walking all the time. You can imagine that if you were allowed to do that kind of inspection work with a drone, you would save a tremendous amount of time and money, and you wouldn't have to send people up scaffolds, which in itself of course is a dangerous thing as well. So this city council member is arguing that the rules and the laws in New York City should change and should allow for drone use, not so much by tourists. I mean, they will be allowed to fly in designated areas, but by companies and by agencies to use drones. However, there's one caveat here. It says this city council is suggesting that New York comes up with their own laws, their own remote ID system, basically, and their own registration. And even though I totally support flying drones in New York City, I don't think it's a great idea to come up with yet another system that people would have to understand and learn and register with, when you already have the FAA working on the exact same kind of rules and regulations. I think if you allow New York to have their own set of rules and their own registration system, then what you're doing is you're kind of starting that whole patchwork of different rules and regulations per area or per city or per state. And we've already spoke about that in the last show. I would not be in favor of that. I think it just makes drone flying in the United States unnecessarily complicated for people, especially if you travel around and you fly in different areas. You would have to acquaint yourself with all the different rules in that particular area. So yeah, I totally agree with this guy that drone flying should be made legal in New York City. I do not quite agree with his approach. I think to centralize everything with the FAA would be a much smarter and simpler way for everybody.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. In fact, we're going to have a lot more on this particular issue in an upcoming show, so I'm excited to chat about it there. Now, that being said, I think there's a lot of drone news this week, good and bad. Very excited to see what comes down the pipe next week. And Haya, just want to say again, thank you very much for joining me on this week's episode of The Drone News.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Excellent. Pleasure to be on the show as always. And I'm looking forward to next week. And hopefully we'll have another aircraft to show on that show.
Yes, I'm very excited as well, Haya. Well, thank you, Haya, and thank you everyone for listening to the show. Don't be afraid to leave us a review, and don't be afraid to let us know what you think of the show as a whole. Thank you very much again for listening, and that's going to do it for us today in this edition of the Drone News from Ask Drone U.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.